Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Taking your mailbag questions tomorrow. I know normally we do it on a Wednesday, but have Bulls Media Day stuff to get into today from the players. So we're going to do your mailbag questions tomorrow, but that lines up perfectly. Gives you guys another opportunity to drop us voicemails or text messages. Any questions you guys have or comments about the first couple of days of training camp kicking off here. So again, 331-979-1369, the place to hit us up. Matt, it comes without surprise, right, that we get our first bit of Bulls training camp news the first day of practice, and what happens? We get two injuries. First day of camp, I hate to say that I'm not surprised, but I'm not surprised. How you doing?
What up, Jordan? What up, Bulls Nation? I'm trying to stay optimistic about these injuries on day one of training camp, but also trying to remember the last time we didn't have an injury early on in training camp. And it just seems like an every year occurrence. You know, we had Lowry with the elbow last year that caused him to be out for the first, 2 months of the season. We had the Bobby and Nico incident. We had, Derrick Rose and the facial fracture not that long ago. It's just absolutely crazy that this keeps happening. Obviously, it sounds like Gafford's injury, which sounds similar to the one Markkanen endured with a hyperextended elbow last year, could be more serious. To me, it's unfortunate, because I think we're all really excited to see what Gafford can do, but I think we're also aware that he was probably going to be, for the most part, playing with Windy City this season and not cracking the gym's rotation. Obviously, the more concerning one is Wendell, but it sounds like that was just a very minor ankle sprain. What we heard, some minor discomfort, but not even any swelling or anything like that. And a completely precautionary measure to just sit him out for the rest of the day. So hopefully that is nothing more than that, and it's a slightly sprained ankle that he will get over in a couple of days. But yeah, I mean, it does feel like something that we just had to have happen, right? Because that's how training camp for the Bulls works.
It's front office speaks, coach speaks, we hear from the players, and we got to check off at least two or three injuries before first week of training camp is up. I'm with you on the Wendell Carter Jr. injury. I don't think it's that big of a deal. It doesn't sound like Jim Boylan was making it that big of a deal either, just from the reports we were getting from camp. So I'm not as worried about him, but I am kind of concerned about Daniel Gafford's injury. Like you had mentioned, it's the same exact injury Lauri Markkanen had last year. And what Jim Boylan had said is, if he's not able to move it or he's moving it with pain, that means you popped it pretty good. So if that's the case, we might see Daniel Gafford miss in the first 6-8 weeks of the season like we did with Lowry, and it's all going to be about pain threshold. Until he can get back out there and bend that arm fully, he's not going to be able to do much of anything. And it was the same thing with Lowry last year, so I'm a bit concerned about Daniel Gafford, but hopefully that's not as severe as Lowry's injury and he doesn't end up missing the first 2.5 months of the season. But like you said, figured that he would spend most of his time in the G League. But the unfortunate thing for him is, with Carter going out, with Luke Kornet still sitting out for a couple of days, maybe about another week or so with turf toe, it leaves the Bulls in training camp with the only center on their roster is Cristiano Felicio, fully healthy right now. So this would have given Gafford at least an opportunity to showcase what he could do and maybe impress the coaching staff. So it's just unfortunate timing for him.
Yeah, definitely bad timing if they were holding out Wendell for, you know, another practice or two to be careful. And then, as you said, Kornet with a turf toe. Because, you know, I think there's... We know what we know about, and like Felicio is who he is. I think the fan base gave up on him a long time ago. I feel like, you know, even Boylan's coaching staff is not looking for Felicio to like make some kind of grand impression upon them in training camp. So maybe that could have been an opportunity for Gafford.
You mean the goggles aren't going to change anything?
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I saw him at media day. I didn't see any goggles. So I don't know. Maybe that was just a Team Brazil thing.
What was Felicio doing?
I'm not sure.
I did see a picture, though, of him. And maybe it was yesterday, of him wearing the goggles. So maybe it's just a practice thing.
You ain't no Michael Jordan.
Maybe at practice? Yeah, possibly. And speaking of, I mean, that to me was the other big takeaway from what we learned about the Bulls' first practice of training camp, in addition to these injuries, was Boylan, who talked a little bit about it to Casey Johnson, that is up on a column at NBC Sports Chicago right now, that he about his decision to go with one long practice as opposed to two-a-days, which, you know, usually in the first week of training camp, when coaches are allowed to do so, they'll do two shorter practices, one at the beginning of the day, one at the end of the day. And Boylan has decided to just do one long practice and then have a longer recovery time between practices. And he said part of that was all of the great work that they put in September before official practices. But at the same time, that also means practices that run as of yet, like yesterday's practice ran somewhere over 2 hours and 45 minutes, which is unusual, shall we say. And there were some of those practices that are that were happening mid-season last year when Boylan took over that had a lot of people, including some of his players, raising their eyebrows to say, are we really having 2.5 hour practices mid-season? In training camp, that's less of an alarming thing, but it's still interesting that Boylan decided to do things that way.
You could have done it the Jimmy Butler way and showed up at 3:30 a.m. for your practice, and practice doesn't start till 10 a.m.
I mean, what is that? What is that? What, just ridiculous. Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Oh, man. That's going to be a wild storyline to follow all season long. But, yeah, just to get kind of back to Boylan's plan for this week, I don't necessarily mind it. Like, I don't care if he doesn't split up the practices from two-a-days if he just wants to run one long one. The interesting thing, too, out of camp, just from the first day, was the lineup that he was running with for most of practice. I thought was kind of a curious one, and would be interested to see if they run with this lineup at all throughout preseason or into the regular season. It was Chris Dunn, Thomas Satoransky, Zach LaVine, Otto Porter Jr., and Lauri Markkanen. What did you think about that kind of lineup? I think there's a lot of shooting in that lineup, that's for sure, and definitely a lot of defense, too. But they're definitely now going to have to experiment with Lauri at the center position, especially if Kornet's going to miss more than just a week, if Carter's not going to be fully healthy for another week or so, and if Gafford misses any time, and you're not going to play Felicio. So I think this is going to push the Bulls' hand at least to see what Lauri can give them in preseason and training camp at the center position.
Yeah, and honestly, that might be a silver lining. It might be a good thing out of a bad situation if they do decide to rest Wendell for a couple of days with that ankle and make sure that it doesn't turn into anything worse than it is, which, as we said, as of right now, is reportedly a very mild sprain. We've been hearing a lot about looking at playing Markkanen more at the five. And we saw the work that he did to bulk up his body this offseason.
He's bigger than I didn't realize how big he was. So
and as much as we are excited about seeing, hopefully, a big step from Wendell in his own right this season, as far as, you know, juggling matchups on a nightly basis, I think it would behoove the Bulls to feel comfortable having the confidence to put Lauri out there at the five for certain stretches when you want, a more like scoring threat kind of lineup out there. Whether or not Lauri can defend that position against, you know, elite NBA opponents is still a question that remains to be seen. But like, if Wendell sits out of practices, and if Luke Kornet sits out of practices, then, and obviously now Gafford as well, that's a good opportunity to say, all right, well, Lowry, in practice today, you are, this entire practice, you're playing the five.
You may see Lowry too, even in that first preseason game, which we're less than a week away from, is on Monday. We may see a lot of Lowry at the five, and that might just be out of necessity at that point too, because we may not have Carter back. Kornet might not be healthy enough to play in the game yet, and certainly doesn't seem like we're going to have Daniel Gafford at all. So I feel like we can kind of just consider Daniel Gafford out until further notice at this point, considering the injury that he had. So we'll be interesting in that first preseason game if they do would run with that lineup. And I think this makes it all more important, Matt, that they signed Thaddeus Young this offseason. Having him have the versatility to be able to play a small ball five too, I think helps. And at this point, you're going to need him to do that. So I think it was really important. It just makes it all that more important week one of the season starting that they made that signing for Thaddeus Young. But yeah, unfortunate with the injuries, especially to the big men. This was one position that I didn't think we were all that concerned about. And now there's a little bit of concern going into week one of training camp and a preseason game just less than a week away. But trying to, like you said at the beginning of this episode, trying to stay at least a little bit optimistic, and thank God that it wasn't anything serious to Carter. And hopefully Daniel Gafford's is not as serious as we think it is initially.
Yeah. And, you know, just to think about, or to touch on briefly this notion that a lot of the fan base feels about this team and their medical staff, and citing this as another example of like, how the hell, like, it can't just be coincidence, it can't just be rotten luck. How is it that the onset of every season somebody goes down with an injury? It just seems absolutely ludicrous. And look, like, to me, I don't entirely buy into this weird conspiracy theory that like the Bulls medical staff for whatever reason is like just grossly below average as far as the competency of that part of the staff of the other 29 teams in the NBA. But it does also make you curious. But with, you know, with Wendell, what we heard is that he just stepped on somebody's foot and just kind of tweaked his ankle a little bit. And to me, like, that is not something that has anything to do with a medical staff not fulfilling their job, not doing their job properly. That's just a freak occurrence. Derrick Rose getting elbowed in the face by Taj Gibson at the first day of training camp practice is a freak occurrence. Some of that stuff, you wonder, you know, are we off base here to say what the hell is with the Bulls medical staff and should they all be fired and replaced? But it's just so crazy that it just, this kind of stuff always seems to happen to us.
It sucks, and it's unfortunate timing. But like you said, to the Carter injury, just a freak accident. And same thing with the Gafford injury. It's just freak accidents that happen. Gafford's happened the last 20 minutes of practice. And like you said, Wendell just happened to step on somebody's foot, and that happens. It's different than last year, what we saw last year with the whole Valentine injury, which I thought was just super bizarre. We weren't getting a straight answer. We were told day to day, and then we were told maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then we were told he's going to be out till further notice, and then we don't actually hear that he's out for the season till like the first week of November when he decides to have surgery. So I feel like that situation last year made me question the medical staff and what was going on more than ever. And now these, I think, are just more freak injuries, but it does suck. I mean, it's something that almost as a Bulls fan, we're coming to expect. I took a peek at our text and voicemail line to see what we were in store for tomorrow when I heard about the injuries. And we just have a flood of texts in there that all start with, of course, in the first day of training camp, we have an injury. So those should be pretty fun to get to tomorrow. But it does. It sucks. It sucks that we have to almost assume there's going to be one or two players that get hurt every single training camp, because that's just what happens. Happens or has happened over the last 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, does it make you kind of feel like at some point the luck should have to turn back in our direction?
I'm hoping so.
Because some of this is just, you know, it seems like ridiculously bad luck. But you also wonder if there is some kind of issue here where, and that's to me the other thing that is so laughable about this. And a lot of people got their jokes off when this news happened about the in our building stuff, and like how they so need to just give it a rest with that crap. Like, oh well, we're so happy when guys are in our building in the off season, and
the energy that they brought, and their dedication to being here, is a statement. It's a statement that A, they want to be here, and A, they want to win. We can't start camp with a limited camp, with the shortness of camp, 5 preseason games. We can't start camp behind. And we talked about that, and they made the commitment to come in and work and care. And I feel we're starting camp in great shape.
They have every tool at their disposal and our great medical staff at their disposal to stay healthy and get healthy when they're in our building, as opposed to, like, say, Zach working out at, you know, his home back out of the West Coast, or, you know, preferring to go play elsewhere, go overseas. You know, Lowry going home back to Finland for a while. All of these injuries, the Nico versus Bobby incident, the, you know, Derek getting elbowed by Taj in the face, the Wendell's ankle, sprained ankle, Chandler Hutchison's hamstring injury from working out. This all happened at their building, in their building. So, like, what if you're going to tell us that you have all the faith in the world in your medical staff, then shut the hell up about, oh well, our building. Well, your players are getting hurt in your building regularly.
Yeah, and let's not forget too, like, the soft tissue injuries too to Dunn and to Portis last year. I know Portis's came in game, so that's a little bit different, but still, Chris Dunn came back for what, one game against the Mavericks right after he had a kid, and then he was out for 4 to 6 weeks. Like, those things concerned me last year more than anything else. And two, some of the questionable decisions made, like in February, where they had no idea Chandler Hutchison had a mild fracture in his foot and then let him go play 41 minutes against the Clippers. Like, things like that concerned me more than just freak accidents like this. But it does make cause for concern if we're not forgetting about anything that happened last year. But it's something to keep our eyes on. But at least, Matt, to be... finish this up on a little bit of an optimistic note. At least none of these injuries are super severe where they're going to miss a big chunk of time. Like, Gafford's might be. We'll have to wait to hear a little bit more from them. Hopefully it's not as severe as Lowry's was last year. But at least Carter, we got away with at least a little bit of a break. Doesn't seem too bad. And then same thing with Cornette. Seems like he'll only be out about a week. So it could be worse, right? I mean, it could be one of our main players, as I'm knocking on wood right now and doing every superstition in the book. It could be worse. So at least we're escaping day one with very, very minor injuries.
Yeah, for now. And the other update we did get was that in addition to being held out with his hamstring, and, you know, who knows, Chandler Hutchison might be this season's Denzel, where that goes from day to day to week to week to when will we ever see him again. We also heard that he was sent home from training camps day one, even though he wasn't participating fully, with an illness. So we got some kind of bug on top of the hamstring for Hutch right now.
Sucks, man. Sucks for him, too.
Hopefully that doesn't spread through the locker room. And now, like the entire Bulls roster gets sick when they should be, you know, honing their plays at training camp.
Yeah, that's for sure. The other thing that we want to get on this episode, too, is to all of the players' media day press conferences. And while it was very short for most of the players, only about 10 minutes or so for the pairings that got to go up on stage. So we're going to talk a little bit about each one of the groups of guys and some of the most significant things talked about. But before we do that, Manscaped is the number one men's below the belt grooming. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Locked On at manscaped.com. It's manscaped.com, code Locked On for 20% off and free shipping. Matt, let's start with the Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine. I felt like them talking was probably the most significant. They said the most significant things out of any one of these groups. Maybe Thaddeus Young, too, you could point to as well. But I enjoyed hearing from at least Lowry and Zach, and it seems like both of these guys have a lot of confidence, at least what they sounding like at the mics. And the first impression I got from this year is I think Lowry Markkanen is going to try to break out of his shell a little bit more. You know, those first 2 years, we felt like he was very reserved when he spoke to the media, especially when when things weren't going the Bulls' way last year. I think he's going to try to break out of that shell a little bit more. And we saw a little bit of a glimpse at that, I felt like, on Monday at Media Day. What did you take away from Lowry and Zach as a whole?
Yeah, I would agree that they both sounded very confident talking about what their goals are for the season. You know, not just their individual goals about, you know, Zach and Lowry both, I think, want to make the All-Star team this year. They both talked about wanting to become better defenders this year and playing all 82 games. You know, a lot of the similar goals that they have set for one another, and they both seem very aware that they are the future of this team. They are the faces of the franchise. That's why they had them at the podium together. Zach and Lowry is it. And I think to some degree they've both embraced that and accepted that and are accepting that challenge. And Zach said thing, you know, the thing he said about, well, you know, it's pretty evident that when our opponents are game planning, they're game planning and you know, looking at tape for us being the focus. And I draw double teams and Lowry draws double teams, and we have to rise above that and be the ones who are leading this team on a nightly basis. And I have very high hopes for those two becoming a really forceful duo in the Eastern Conference this year. And if the Bulls have any chance of being relevant this year, of fighting for a playoff spot this year, those two have to play like all-stars. And they have to do it consistently, and they got to stay on the floor. But everything that they said, I really loved. And honestly, my favorite thing about their time at the podium together was somebody asked Lowry about his like elevated heart rate or whatever that shut him down for the rest of the season last year. And Zach, even before Lowry could answer, Zach was like, yeah, he's good to go. He's good to go. Which clearly like made me believe that entire thing was just a ruse. And they were like, yeah, we need to figure out a way to shut down Lowry. Man, your heart rate got really up there for a while you were playing tonight, huh? Well, we should shut you down.
I missed the last couple of weeks. What feedback did you get that from doctors on that, and are there any lingering concerns, or are you good to go?
Nah, he's good to go.
I'm good.
No feedback from doctors or anything like that, the long-term concern?
Good to go.
I mean, obviously we talked about pretty much everything for that last 2 weeks of the season, but we found out that everything's good and I'm good to go and no reason to look back at it.
I love that. That was a great question by Cody Westerlund. And then he followed up too, just as Zach is like, nah, he's good. He's good. He's like, no feedback from any doctors. And Lowry's like, no, I'm good to go. So I was going to say the same exact thing. I was laughing hard when I first heard that. I'm like, oh my God. The one thing that I wish somebody would ask Zach specifically about is his relationship with Jim Boylan and how he built that up throughout the summer, because that was a pretty important storyline going towards the end of the season, right? We talked about the seemingly disconnection that they had sometime in January during that 10-game losing streak. Then it seemed like that relationship started to mend a little bit with Zach paying the fine, and we made a big deal about that in February, but it seemed like the relationship started to mend at least a little bit, and we said this offseason it was going to be interesting to hear what Zach LaVine had to say about Jim Boylan as a whole, the goals of this team as a whole. So I would have liked to hear somebody ask Zach, and maybe we will get this over the next week or so, more specifically about what his relationship's like with the head coach, with Jim Boylan, and how that might change this season. Because that was sort of a storyline that was left untold, I felt like, at the end of the season and where that kind of stood. Did you feel that same way?
Yeah, absolutely. I rolled my eyes at the Zach offered to pay Boylan's fine then when he got ejected in that game. Said, you know, okay, fine, whatever. But it was very evident that for a while there, Zach was just despondently unhappy with the team losing and losing and losing. And whatever it was that Boylan was trying to get through to them that was not getting through. And Zach also had his issues relating to and communicating with Fred Hoiberg. Of course, in the, you know, that early season instance where it was a close game late, Zach's got the ball, Fred's trying to tell him to do something, and Zach like waves him off. That like made national headlines, and people were talking about that. Like, oh, Bulls coach Fred Hoiberg gets emasculated by Zach LaVine, blah, blah, blah. And then we saw rocky situations between his relationship with a new head coach when Boylan took over. So knowing that, like, right now, and we can talk about what the newcomers, Sato and Thad Young, had to say in a few minutes. But Thad Young coming in is immediately the leader of this team, the mental and emotional leader of this team. But on the court every night, it's going to be Zach, and sometimes maybe it'll be Lowry leading the team in who's your go-to guy. Who are you going to when you need a bucket? Who are you going to when you need somebody to take over the game? And that is going to be Zach LaVine, and it is ideal. It's not, I guess, entirely necessary, but it usually works out better if that guy on your roster has a strong relationship, including strong communication with your head coach. So as far as what happened with their relationship this summer and if they did anything to build upon and improve that relationship and they have a better understanding, I certainly hope so. But I'm with you. I don't necessarily know, because we didn't really hear a whole lot about that this offseason. We heard other players speak glowingly of Jim Boylen at Media Day and through the offseason, but we didn't really hear a whole lot about it from Zach. What we heard at the end of the season was, I think Zach gets it. Jim cares about him, and he's hard on his guys because he cares about his guys, and maybe it took Zach a while to understand that. But I'm still definitely waiting to see how that relationship plays out this season.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Coby White and Daniel Gafford, just because you brought up the leadership thing, they were two guys who pointed right away to Otto Porter Jr. and to Thaddeus Young as the two clear leaders of this team already.
And, you know, it was a lot of guys that stepped up to be the leaders on the team, like Thaddeus. You know, Otto did the same thing as well. So mainly this thing is we came in and we grinded as much as we possibly could through the month of September. That was our main goal.
Beltwick is kind of interesting because those are two dudes that are just coming into this team for the first season. And same thing with, I mean, Otto was here since February, but still, Thaddeus Young is brand new. To hear those guys from an outsider's perspective, at least at this point, hear them say that those two guys seem like those are going to be the leaders of this team. And you can have clubhouse leaders, and you can have guys that are sort of the outspoken guys that speak to the media and more the face in that way. And I feel like it's Zach LaVine in that way, where he's more the face of the media, and then the leaders behind the locker room, the guys who are the vets, are Otto Porter Jr. and Thaddeus Young. And it's not to say Zach LaVine doesn't have a role in that either, but I think you're getting a different perspective when you bring both of those guys in. So I was interested to hear that from Daniel Gafford and Coby White. But back to Jim Boylen really quick, and Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen as a whole. One interesting thing that I liked from Lauri Markkanen was he said straight up you could tell he wasn't sure if he was allowed to say this or not, but I like that he said it pisses him off that when they lose games and when they're not winning, and this is his third season, it's Zach's sixth season, and you know what genuinely pisses them off when they don't win?
We're going to your sixth year?
Yeah, man, six years. It's
crazy. And I'm going my third year, and we haven't been to playoffs. Haven't won a whole lot of games, so that's one thing that really I know pisses both of us off, and kind of so we want to get to that winning record first, and obviously that comes from us playing well and the whole team playing well together, but I think it all starts from winning.
So it's good to hear that from your two best players that are sitting there and like, yeah, it frustrates us. And you saw it last season. I mean, you saw it after games where they'd get blown out and Zach was pissed off at everything and showing it to the media. So it's good to see that from those two guys, seeing the fire from those two guys, at least early. The other thing I thought mentioning Zach LaVine is the first thing he mentions when he goes to the podium talking about his offseason training is the sandbox workouts he was doing and doing the sand workouts to try to help his body recover, but also strengthen a lot of his muscles. I could be wrong on this, but I remember there maybe being a report earlier this summer that the Bulls weren't all too happy with those kinds of workouts and hoping he doesn't end up hurting himself doing that. So I thought that was kind of curious.
Well, yeah.
But it did help him
God
last
forbid.
Year.
I suppose they could just dump a bunch of sand in the Advocate Center and then he could be doing it in their building. Jesus Christ.
As long as it's in their building.
We're gonna have a designated sand pit room in the Advocate Center so Zach could do his workouts in our building.
But I did like that. And it seems like those workouts, he did those last year too, going into the season. And it seems like that helped elevate his game a little bit. So I'm curious to see how that helps him this year, and hopefully it helps him stay on the court for all 82 games.
Like you mentioned, to me, the thing that he said that was interesting was that it's about preserving his body and putting, you know, putting less pressure on his body while he's going through those workouts. But it's clearly there's something there with these sand workouts, because we see more and more professional athletes doing it, not just NBA players, but a lot of NFL players doing it too. Because like you see them post these Instagram videos where they're working out on a beach somewhere. So, you know, maybe it's a trend that will come and go. I don't know. But at the moment, it certainly seems like a lot of professional athletes see value in doing that. And so do their you know, personal trainers. So, you know, if the Bulls have an issue with that, like, whatever. What are you going to write into your contract? You're not allowed to work out in sand. Clearly, it wasn't in the contract that Zach signed last summer. So do what you want to do.
You know, I was reading a story somewhere too, and I think it was on the Clippers, because they were doing this as well. They were going out to the beach and holding workouts in the off season there, and they were talking about how the impact of practice being on a hard floor as opposed to in sand has less pressure on your joints, your muscles, and your recovery time is faster. So I find that kind of interesting too, and I'm glad Zach LaVine is kind of leaning towards the new age way and finding different ways to help him not only work out and strengthen himself in the off season, but also help his recovery time too. So it seems like it only can help. It can only help. So I enjoyed listening to Lowry and Zach LaVine for the first time, and it definitely won't be the last time we hear from those guys. Let's flip to Satoransky and Thaddeus Young real quick. Seems like Thaddeus Young is the guy that everybody virtually between the players and the media absolutely loved at Media Day on Monday. Seems like he's going to be very, very important. When it goes without saying, too, even with the signing, when we said this back in July, it goes without saying, I think he's going to be a really, really important part to this team this season.
Massively important. And, I mean, I got a sense of it just being there in a room at Media Day that a lot of players were quick to look to Thad Young, have a moment with Thad Young, chat with Thad Young. And he was making the rounds and he was making sure he talked to everybody, and especially like some of the younger guys. At various points throughout the day, I saw Thad Young talking to basically every young guy on that roster, and even some of the kids who were there looking as wide-eyed as me, Dave, and John, because they were, you know, undrafted guys who made the training camp roster who were there experiencing their first media day. And Thad Young would be talking to those guys who probably by all accounts won't even be his teammates in another couple of weeks. You saw it with his maturity at the podium, talking about all of his years of experience in this league and what is important to him. And to me, like, that was one of the favorite things I heard throughout the entirety of media day. It was a question that I was asked by, I believe, Mike McGraw of the Daily Herald, saying, you know, Thad, could you talk to us a little bit about your decision to come to Chicago as opposed to some guys who at your stage in their careers might be looking for more of a ring chasing type environment? And Thad Young's answer was simple, and it was essentially, I looked here and I saw that, you know, I saw a team that needed me. They need me here for this process that they're going through. They need me here to lead, you know, to help build something, to help grow something, and help build this culture. And you know, not only incredibly selfless, but also in no way did it sound phony. It sounded like that is something that Thad Young actually takes pride in doing. And that is something that this roster desperately needed. So, I was on board with the Thad Young signing when it happened. And then after hearing what he had to say on Monday, I've quadrupled down. The guy's awesome.
Yeah, I'm impressed too. And I was listening to a podcast with Miles Turner, his former teammate, and he had nothing but good things to say about Thaddeus Young. And one thing that I found that was incredibly intriguing was the fact that when Victor Oladipo went down for that Pacers team last year, the host asked him, you know, who did you guys kind of look to and point to as your clear-cut leader in that locker room, and who kind of held you guys all together when things could have just completely imploded once your star player, the guy that you look to as your main leader, and Victor Oladipo goes out for the entire season? And he said, without question, it was Thaddeus Young. He said he was the one, he was the glue piece to our team. He's the guy that kept telling guys to keep their heads up, in games when they were missing shots, missing defensive assignments, things were going bad, they were on a losing streak, anything like that, it seemed like Thaddeus Young was the first person to speak up or go and talk to one of these guys. So not only hearing that from his former teammates impresses me, but I'm with you too, and just hearing what he had to say and why he wanted to sign here in Chicago. And it seems like he really likes Jim Boylan as well. It seems like he liked everything that Jim Boylan was saying and pitching to him this summer about how hard they want to work, what kind of team that they want to build here. And it's true, man. Like, this Bulls team more than ever needs a player and a person like Thaddeus Young to kind of reshape and restructure and also re-image that locker room, which we always talk about is kind of a dumpster fire over the last 5 years. Seems like there was always something happening to that locker room between the players, or the players and the coaches, or the players in the front office. So we need a guy that can kind of clear that up. And there's a clear and defining older leader in that locker room, and I think that's going to be Thaddeus Young.
Yeah, it was actually, I mean, it was kind of funny. Not like funny ha-ha, like hit yourself in the face funny. For all of the talk that we hear from this organization about build the right culture, they failed. They have consistently failed over the last several years to build any culture that has any semblance of positivity. If anything, they've hindered the culture that did exist. And that being just a once proud franchise that still rests on the laurels of 6 titles because thanks MJ and Scotty and Jerry Krause. They talk about build the right culture. They talked about it when they fired Tibbs and hired Fred. And they talked about it when they fired Fred and shoved Jim Boylan into the head coach's chair. And whether, you said countless examples, and there are plenty. Nico and Bobby, Dwayne Wade and Jimmy, like, you know, alienating themselves against the rest of the young Bulls roster a couple years ago in the three alphas year. Rondo getting into it with the coaching staff in the three alphas year. The Jimmy and Fred needs to coach harder. And then even more recently, Zach and Fred not really hitting it off. Jabari Parker and the way that they so disastrously handled that whole situation.
Don't forget Wade getting angry at Paul Zipser for taking the final shot.
Paul Zipser, who were high right. on.
You know, the Rondo Instagram post. All of these things. Even like Bobby in some of his remarks after having been traded.
Right.
Even Jabari in his remarks after having been traded. Jimmy Butler and his remarks, and Jimmy Butler's trainer's remarks, and all these things about, no, this is not the right culture. This isn't no culture. This is bad culture. So, yes, they have constantly talked about building the right culture, but they've done the opposite. So, in that sense, Thad Young is immensely important to this organization right now.
Yeah, the stepping stone, I think, from trying to turn that page starts with the guys that you build on this roster. And so at least I can give the front office a tad bit of credit too for bringing actually the right guys in this year. You know, we talked about last year the mistake that they made in signing and throwing all that money at Jabari Parker.
They don't pay players to play defense.
They decided to actually use the cap space that they had and use it on productive players that they know not only are going to impact them on the floor, but impact them in the locker room too. And
yeah,
what I love too, and I didn't even know this until Thaddeus Young said it, but I didn't realize Zach LaVine and Thaddeus Young were former teammates with the Minnesota Timberwolves, because Thad said, oh yeah, when Zach came into the league, he was my rookie up in Minnesota. So I had no idea. I didn't even realize that. So that's kind of cool too. It's good that the Bulls are also considering guys that some of these other players have played with. Zach is your most important player. Him and Lowry are your two most important players right now to building this team for the future. So to bring guys out around him that not only he has good relationships with, but also have built up some type of chemistry with, I think is really, really good. And things that kind of got overlooked too. I think that's one of them that gets kind of overlooked is former teammates. And it seems like Zach LaVine really, really likes Thaddeus Young too. So that's a definite positive.
I thought it was a real positive.
Yeah, and honestly, I had even forgotten that they shared that season together in Minnesota when Zach was a rookie. Because, you know, Thad Young has so many stops in his career that I had forgotten that there was that one. You know, I was really excited about reuniting Otto and Tomas, who played together in Washington for a couple years, and they clearly had some built-in chemistry. But it's really great that Thad is here, and I'm sure that he will do a lot of wonderful things for Zach. And just because I thought of it as we were talking about all of this stuff about building the right culture and Thaddeus Young's addition, and you said, you know, to the front office is like, give them a little bit of credit for recognizing that Thad Young would be a great addition to this team, and that is true. They saw a guy who was very valuable in that sense and can also bring them some solid minutes on the floor as a solid two-way player. But, like, you know, and I know we talked a lot about some of the comments from Gar and Paxson and Jim on yesterday's show, so we don't have to dive back into it too far. But one of the things that I forgot to mention yesterday that bears repeating is, and I believe it was your boy Cody Westerlund from 670 who had another great question about kind of like changing philosophies when it comes to what you're looking for in free agents, and the fact that Thad and Satoransky are more like, you know, low-key, not big-name guys, but really positive with the analytics. And Paxson's answer, which was just so laughable to me, which was like, well, it's not really a change of philosophy. We've always held the same philosophy. And, you know, we've always put some, you know, the same amount of stock in analytics as we always have. I guess in the past, we gambled. We took a couple of gambles. I believe he also used the phrase, we rolled the dice, when referencing things like signing Wade and signing Jabari. And I just laughed my ass off. They're like, dude, don't call it gambling. Don't call it rolling the dice. That is excusing bad decisions as, I have a little bit of a gambling hobby. No, you're running an organization and you made bad decisions that were, if we're being honest, more about making money than about building a proper basketball team. So don't sit here and tell, well, we gambled. You didn't gamble. You made a boneheaded decision as the manager and executive of an organization. I thought that was laughable.
I think that's pretty funny, too. And you think about how they could have spent that $20 million last year just on Jabari alone. And I think about, too, like the things that they said at his press conference.
But, hey, can't forget it. You know, Jabari's awful contract got us Otto. That definitely gives them deserved credit somehow.
A lie detector test determined that was a lie.
Absolutely not. Zero. Anybody that says that the front office should get credit because Jabari Parker in turn ended up landing us Otto Porter is ridiculous. You're crazy if you think that.
Pound sand.
It's the same thing, like Bobby Portis could have signed the contract and then this deal wouldn't even have been done, right? Otto Porter would have been still in Washington, or he'd have been in Portland or in Denver at this time now, this year. That is just absolutely ridiculous. But if... yeah, at least if they're gambling this offseason, if that's what their philosophy was this year too, they gambled on the right guys and hit. So I'm excited for Thomas Satoransky, and I'm very excited for Thaddeus Young and the impact those two guys are going to have. The last thing I wanted to mention before we get out of here too is from Daniel Gafford and Kobe White. More so than ever, I think, over the course of these three seasons in this rebuild, those two dudes looked like deer in the headlights I've seen from rookies. About as much of deer in the headlights as I've ever seen from two rookies when they're getting asked questions. So once those two guys kind of warm up a little bit more, I think we're going to hear some personalities from both of those guys.
Yeah, and I mean, you can kind of tell, and some of it shines through in the episode, and I think it was like the first episode of the new season of Run With Us, you know, that like mini like series that the Bulls social media team is doing that they put on their website and Twitter and Instagram, which are really good. Like, you know, you should definitely check them out. And they did one like right after Kobe and Gafford got drafted, and like they were doing like a boat tour of Chicago. And you could kind of like see like both of these guys have really interesting personalities. But I think that the chaos of media day, I'm sure, is overwhelming. And even more so than draft night and draft day. You know, Gafford was, you know, even just like sitting at home with his family. Kobe White was there, at the event, knowing that he was going to be a lottery pick. And so there's all the hype and, you know, photo shoot and whatever that leads up to that. But I mean, media day is probably just as crazy, if not more, because you're being, you know, wrangled around to a bunch of different spots, and you got to do this photo shoot for this media outlet, and then you got to do this interview, and then you got to go shoot videos for the United Center scoreboard. You got to do all these things. Like, witnessing it myself for the first time, I was like, holy crap, there is a lot that goes into media day. And we see bits and pieces of it as fans, but it is an overwhelming experience. So, yeah, rookies doing that for the first time, deer in headlights, I think, is the proper response.
Yeah, definitely. The last thing I was going to mention just real quick, I went back and I was rewatching some of the press conferences leading up to us doing these episodes. What I noticed, too, on their YouTube page, and this could just be complete technical problems that the Bulls were having with their camera work, but I noticed in every one of their interviews, they had a bunch of questions cut out. Like, I went back and watched the Periscope version of the conference and the YouTube version, and in the YouTube version, there is like three or four questions that are cut out in each of the press conferences. So I found that weird, and that could just be a technical glitch that they were having, but I was like, if they're cutting questions out, I'm like, I can go to another place and find this pretty easy if I wanted to. The one that made me like scratch my head was like, Zach LaVine was asked a question about Chris Dunn and what he had to say about Chris Dunn. And in the YouTube one, the entire answer was cut out. It was like it went straight to him talking in the middle of an answer to another question. So I found that kind of weird, and that could totally be a technical thing going on and whatever. They couldn't post it, the whole thing, to YouTube. But if you want to watch the full press conferences, like, you don't want any of the interruption, if you want to go back and watch those questions, go to their Twitter page and watch the periscopes of the videos. The audio is definitely better there, and there's no cutout questions there. But I found that kind of weird. I was like, yeah, there's a couple questions from Boylan that were cut out. There was Zach LaVine's couple questions that were cut out. Kobe White and Daniel Gafford had a couple cut out, and Thaddeus Young and Satoransky too did. So could be just a Bulls feed thing that was going on with their camera, as opposed to them or just needing to chop out things that weren't important.
The Bluminati. It's all a giant conspiracy, man.
Don't tell Campaign that. He'll get mad at you guys.
We got it back. Lifts a three. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Cameron Payne. I'm telling you, he's having an out-of-body experience tonight. 7 of 11.
Oh, my goodness.
All of his field goals have been threes.
Wow.
You'd have told me Cameron Payne would make 7 threes in a game, I might have slapped you, Neil.
He will. He'll get mad at us. Yeah, I did notice that, too. I'm thinking it's probably nothing.
It's a technical thing.
They sat there and answered lots of questions. So maybe just for the sake of brevity, they wanted to kind of just chop them up and only put in, you know, the meatiest parts of those interviews for them.
It was funny, though. It seemed like the guys felt kind of awkward, all like across the board with all the players, because they were laughing at each other, not knowing who should answer, especially like Gafford and Kobe White. They were like, you want to answer this one? No, you got it. It's good. So I did enjoy all of their answers.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people take the approach by prefacing their question with, this is for both of you. So it's like, all right, well, so who goes first?
But I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Hit us up with your text messages, your voicemails. You guys got opinions on media day. Maybe you're concerned about these injuries. Are you concerned about these injuries? Maybe you're not at all. Anything from the players or from the front office or from the coaches that you've heard over the last couple of days that you guys want to react to, or you guys got questions about leading up to the Bulls' first preseason game. I know we're less than a week away from their first preseason game. So hit us up at 331-979-1369. If you're a relatively new listener to the show, save that number in your phone and your contacts is Locked On Bulls. It'd be the easiest way for you to text if you've got a thought or to drop us a call. So again, 331-979-1369, the place to hit us up. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, you have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Oh, he got something for you.
Mainly coming in and putting that work in, really. Because, you know, it's all about the grind. And then we got it in early, so that was our main thing.
I looked at the situation was, yeah, you know, you have, you know, teams that were playoff teams that had potential championship bids and stuff like that, that was looking at me, that wanted to have me come in, you know. But at the end of the day, for me, I think it was more about need. Did anything. You know, this team, I felt like this team needed me in the process. I felt like, you know, this team would give me a chance to come and help lead and help build something, help grow something, and build some culture, which is, you know, what we did in Indiana. you know, and it puts me in the same potential place to where, you know, where I was before, where I can come in and help a team get better, quick, fast, in a hurry, and potentially, like I said, make the playoffs.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com